Janice, what are some of your absolute favorite memories of growing up with Nelson's Columbia Candy Kitchen?
Well, this candy store belongs to my husband's family, and he grew up coming up in the summers and staying with his grandparents. And as a young boy, he would come across the street early in the morning and work with his grandfather in the kitchen making candies, okay? And then all the women that would arrive at work in their aprons and in the old cars, and their husbands would drop them off, and they would come in and they would crowd the dipping table, and the other ladies that were dressed up a bit more would work in the front room. And so he always remembers, and then he was young enough that at noon he would be dismissed and he could go to the pool for the afternoon for his summer treat, usually when his grandfather put on a hat and got his coat and drove into Sonora to do business, because that was in the 40s. And the grandparents had had the store since the mid-30s, and the store originally originated in the 20s. And so it had been here quite some time and been a large presence of manufacturing and making chocolates that people came all the way from the Valley and Stockton and the Bay Area. It was a frequent journey that they came up here and enjoyed their Sundays. As often they would knock on the door of their home, which was right across the street, and say, "I've driven all the way 3 hours to get here and you're not open." And so consequently, the Nelsons ever since then became where they would be open on weekends, and particularly almost 7 days a week. Today we are open every day but Christmas, because we have people that do that very same thing.
What a great tradition.
It is. It's a wonderful tradition, and my husband has all those childhood memories of working with his grandfather. And then, of course, you know, my husband lived in Southern California and would spend his summers here, but he would go back home when school started. And so he was raised down south and never really considered living in Columbia and carrying on the tradition that his grandfather had. But in the late 50s, his grandfather passed away, and the grandmother stayed on, continuing the business. And then eventually she, too, in the 60s, became fairly ill and needed some help. And Michael was one of the only people that could walk in the kitchen and remember a certain beaker or remember a certain paddle or a certain way to make something that he had made with his grandfather as a child. It's interesting to note that when you are a child and you do these things with your aunts and uncles and grandparents, that they don't seem very important at the time, but later on they really are a way to carry on a tradition or have some little family secret recipe, especially in cooking, how you do something. And so he was the one, Michael was the one that knew how to put together those recipes that had been long forgotten. And in the meantime, the grandmother, after the grandfather died, had hired candy makers from other places, usually Utah, because there's a large presence of candy stores in Utah. And they would come west, and they would make candy for her. But so when she became ill, Michael, who was happened to be an office manager for the Pacific Bell Telephone Company in Newport Beach, came home one day and said, "I know a better place to live." And he said, "There's this magical little candy store my grandfather had, and my grandmother needs help, and we need to go attend to that." And so that is how we moved in the early 60s to Columbia, which is in itself almost a Hollywood stage set when it comes to the essence of Western America.
What do you remember about your early days of managing a magical little candy store in a small town that's like a stage set?
We went back probably 20 to 25 years in time. It was a time warp. And the women would come to work, and it was all, it's all handwork, okay? You're either cutting the cream's centers by hand and giving them to the dippers, and then the dippers are dipping them by hand, and then the ladies are packing the boxes by hand. There is no machinery in this store except for one beater that's like a mixer. And so everything is hand done. And then they would stop at lunchtime, and we would all go out to a little sunny porch and turn on the radio and listen to the local news of what was happening. They all had on their aprons. They all talked about what they made for dinner that night and what was happening in the neighborhood and, oh, the latest thing that they had sewn on their sewing machine. And, I mean, this was in the 60s when the riots were happening in Los Angeles and the Beatles and the movement of modernization and huge changes in the 60s were happening in America. But when we came to Tuolumne County, it was like we had come back 20, 30 years in time.
That had to be the most amazing feeling.
We have been here, and the store has been in Columbia over 90 years. It's the only continuing business in Columbia. All of our equipment that we make our confections on are over 100 years old. And so all of that equipment, that the little drop machine and the spinning table that we use for our candy canes and this and that, and the ribbon candy that we make is an 1886 ribbon. It crimps the ribbon into that shape. And so all of our equipment is antiquated, and we use the same methods. And I really don't know of any place in America. There might be one or two. I know of one on the East Coast that's similar to ours, but I don't know if being in a historic park that they are still able to use all the old, old equipment that we use. It's a privilege to do that.
How far back does your tradition go of inviting people into your kitchen to help you make the candy canes?
Well, that tradition started with my husband because he loves people. And it didn't happen until probably the late 70s or 80s. And we just did it with local people that would be standing at the window and watching us do our daily work. We never thought too much about it, to be truthful. And there would be, particularly on weekends, we'd be making these confections, and the little noses would be pressed against the glass, and it was cold outside. And here we were, warm and toasty, and everything smelling good inside, and my husband would open the door of the kitchen. He says, "Would you like to come in and watch for a little while?" And they would, and of course, and warm up their hands and feel good. And then pretty soon it was, "Would you like to make one of these candy canes?" And so we'd give them a stick, you know, of peppermint, and then they would shape it into whatever they wanted to shape it in. It was their piece of candy, you know. They could make a heart, they could make a initial, they could make a candy cane, they could do all kinds of things. And so anyway, they just enjoyed it so much that after 3 or 4 years, we kind of became overwhelmed. And we would have people, we had more than we could accommodate. And so that's when we devised the lottery system, which seems a bit cruel, but it works really well, is people send in postcards, and we literally put them in a big barrel and toss them and pull a postcard. And we have these allotted times, which are at least 3 or 4 times a day on Saturdays and Sundays. And we fill them with groups of up to 15 people. And so the first postcard, of course, if they need the second weekend in December on a Saturday at 2 o'clock, that's what they get. And we keep pulling postcards until we fill that agenda, that schedule.
I'm guessing that a lot more people would like to do this than actually can do it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that is so positive about it is it's multi-generational, is that that grandfather that's standing there, you know, that has never seen candy put together before, and his four-year-old granddaughter, who he's standing next to, both of their eyes are the same size. They're like little saucers that they just go, oh, look at that. And look at that. That hot, hot liquid is going to be the candy cane. And look how the stripe gets put on the candy cane. And then all of a sudden it's their own candy cane, and they go, wow, this is, you know, and they, so it's something that you can provide at the holiday season that makes everybody happy. We do not charge for this. It is like our present, our Christmas present to our customers. And so we just hope they come in and they have a wonderful time and create a wonderful memory.
Now, my website visitors are going to be so disappointed, but let's talk about when, for the following Christmas season, they actually could start sending a postcard to you and be considered for the following year's candy cane making.
We draw the names on Labor Day. So summertime is the time to send in the postcards, or before. It's very important that they include a name and address that we can send an invitation to. We do not do it on email. And it must have the date that is available for them, okay, that they can come here. They must be aware that many times, as you know from doing Miner's Christmas on Columbia, that it does snow. So once in a while, during December, we have a snowy pavement here, and so they should be prepared for that. Also, the number of people that they would like to have in their party. Sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 8, sometimes it's the whole 15. And then the other requirement on the postcard is, of course, their telephone number, so we can call them just in case they get drawn and something is askew and we need to get a hold of them.
So name, address, be sure to say when, and I'm hearing the earlier the better. Probably spring would not be too early to send this postcard to you.
No, it doesn't. And they can send as many as they want, and if they live in the area or they ever come to the store, they can bring a number of postcards in an envelope and we'll put them in the barrel for them so they don't have to send 20 postcards. Because we have people that send us 20, 30 postcards with their names on it, so they get, you know, chosen because it's such a random choice.
For anybody listening that still would love to see you making candy, as I'm sure a lot would like to, what will you do new this year for Christmas? Last year, I know you did 12 days of Christmas in candy.
I don't know. We haven't chosen yet what we're going to do. It's always kind of spur of the moment and something that passes through our family. We always have some very standard things. We have molded chocolate figures, which are always solid. They are never hollow. And they're packaged appropriately and decorated. And then we have all of our boxed candies and made in the very same way that when we came here in the 60s and watched these women that had been working here already for 20, 30 years ahead of my husband and I. We were the youngsters, and these women taught us all about all of our very favorites of the store. We bake a piece of candy called a pine nut roll. I don't know anybody that makes this piece of candy, and our customers, we have them travel. I have to have this candy at Christmas time. It's our tradition, and this and that, and it's really cute. And it's a Danish vanilla cream, and it's dipped in semi-sweet dark chocolate, and then it's rolled in pine nuts. And it's just a melt-in-your-mouth piece of candy. It's really delicious. But then we have feature things like a peppermint bark. We call it Kringle's Crunch that we make with the leftover candy cane, because we take the candy canes that are ugly or broken or this and that. We mash them up and mix them with white chocolate and make a bark. And also, we always have Panucci, which which is a brown sugar sweet fudge with pecans, but we only make that at Christmas time. And so there's a few things that just are always our holiday specials.
Which is really important because I have some wonderful memories of my grandmother making fudge.
Considering it's still a family business, many times I look in the kitchen at Christmas time and one or two or three of my grandsons are working in there, and a couple of my granddaughters, along with my son-in-law, who is the candy maker. He learned from my husband, and he is married to my daughter Jenny, who works in there, and my daughter Sarah is usually standing outside telling everybody exactly what's going on, because she kind of narrates what's going on inside when you look through the windows and see when we put in the oil and peppermint, and answers any questions that the visitors have at the window.
What would you like all of them to take away with them from you, from working with you at Nelson's Columbia Candy Kitchen, for a Christmas memory?
Well, in a way they already have it, because of being here at all ages. I mean, it's a family business, so of course family businesses, you not only have it when you're in the shop itself, but also at the dinner table at night when you're talking about it. And all the positives and all the negatives, they hear it all. But anyway, I know that they will take away an understanding of tradition, of hospitality, of the joy that you can give somebody with a simple piece of cooked sugar.
Janice, thank you for your time today.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for the interview.